The purpose of Wealth Talk is to educate, inform, and hopefully entertain you on the subject of building your wealth. Wealth Builders recommends you should always take independent financial, tax, or legal advice before making any decisions around your finances.
Welcome to episode 125 of Wealth Talk. My name is Christian Rodwell, the Membership Director for Wealth Builders, and I'm joined today by our founder, Mr. Kevin Whelan. Hi, Kevin.
Hello, Chris. Good to be with you again. Who have we got today, as if I didn't know?
We have got a fantastic guest today, and we're focusing on pillar four, which is the business pillar. So if we think of our recurring revenue roadmap, step four in the whole process is, you know, choosing your pillar. And so we're focusing on business, and Terry Blackburn is our guest today. And Terry is from the Northeast, like your good self, Kevin, and he's a real whirlwind. And we definitely had some fun having a conversation with Terry.
How appropriate it is that this is episode 125, because, you know, a long time ago when I was traveling from London to Newcastle, which people know is my home, although the accent is slightly less than Terry's, it was the Intercity 125, which is like a fast train between London and Newcastle, and Terry's fast, right? Everything about Terry is, you know, a million miles an hour. So he lives life fast and furious and on the edge, but do everything with purpose, though. So he's a man who's on purpose in so many areas of his life. So I would say you need to sit down with this podcast and take some notes and try and work out, what are we going to debrief? What pillars does he talk about? What are the issues that come up on the recurring revenue roadmap? What could you take from what he has to say? Because there's a mountain of free stuff that he's going to share with you. And we'll have a good go at debriefing it afterwards, once we've catched our breath, or caught our breath even.
All right, let's head over to our conversation today with Terry Blackburn. Terry, very warm welcome to Wealth Talk today.
Thank you. Thanks for having us, Chris. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem at all. And obviously, I'm sure there'll be some ties with Kevin with the Northeast connection there. And yeah. We've just been having a chat about all the things that have been going on over the last week or so. So exciting times. But we're here today to hear about how you have managed to double your business turnover in COVID. So really difficult period, and some of the strategies perhaps that you can share with us today and our listeners. So looking forward to hearing that, Terry. But why don't you just start off by giving us a bit of background on yourself and your business?
Thank you. Yeah, just to add to that, the talent, all the talent lives up north, Chris, in case you didn't know that. It all lives up north. But yeah, I'm Terry Blackburn. I'm 32. I'm from Newcastle-upon-Tyne. I've got a few different businesses, mainly around financial services, life insurance, mortgages, I'm picking the property as well. So I've got three property companies, three SPVs, where we buy, refurbish and rent out properties. Yeah, really ambitious guy, father of two, love my life, love my job. And that's me.
Yeah. And then your company, Bespoke Financial Group, how long has that been running for?
So 7.5 years. It was 2014, June, I think it was. Yeah. So there's different branches of Bespoke that are run by my friends. I run Newcastle. My best mate runs Bespoke Teesside. So collectively, we're the number one life insurance brokers in the country. Last month, for example, we did 1,200 life insurance policies as a business. So that's 1,200 families we've helped with life insurance. So anybody who knows that industry, you know, that's quite far ahead of the competition. So yeah.
And I was just, you know, having another look at your website and reading your mission statement. And it's really clear to see that, you know, the core values shine through. And definitely we're going to hear that from you today as we speak further. And I think you've really embedded that throughout your whole team as well. And hence the success that you're having, Terry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I appreciate you saying that. Thank you. And I'd like to think so. Yes, I'm a big believer in team culture and ethics and morals and values have to be passed down, not just from the leaders of the business, but to every member of staff, from the administrators to the sales people, every layer of management. They need to have the same values, for sure. It's imperative, I feel, for a big business and to scale a big business and be successful, I think, in any industry. I think that's accurate.
Yeah. So you mentioned there, you know, the business been running for 7.5 years, and last year during COVID, you managed to increased the turnover from around 770,000 to 1.5 million. So, you know, impressive results there, Terry. So where does this entrepreneurial bug come from?
I can't really pinpoint a certain time, or, you know, my parents aren't entrepreneurs. I don't have any entrepreneurs in the family. I can't really pinpoint a certain time or a turning point, but I've always knew that I was going to do something big. I don't know why. I don't want to come across as arrogant there, by the way, at all, because anyone who knows us wouldn't say that I am. I've just always knew that I was going to achieve something big, and I've always believed that. And I think when you believe something, that's the starting point of anything anyway. You've got to believe in it. But I always just knew, and I'm very, very ambitious, and I'm very, very competitive. And in sales is a competitive environment. So as soon as I got into sales, I just loved it. Whether that was being the top salesman in the country, which I was, to then having the biggest business, it's all competition, right? And I'm just a bit like that in general. To answer your question, there wasn't a specific point. I think it's just in me to be this way.
So before we dive into the details then, Terry, I mean, at the age of 32, how much do you put your success, your current success, down to just mindset and personal development, as opposed to actual business skills and business acumen and knowledge around, you know, how a business works?
Probably the 80-20 rule, isn't it? The Pareto principle, I think probably it's 80% mindset, 20% your actual actions. Obviously, you've got to back things up with huge action. I take huge action every day. I'm up early, I work late, 5 days a week ever. It used to be seven, but it's 5 days now. You've got to back that up with action. But I do also believe that my mindset is what kept us ahead of the competition. I definitely believe that. If upstairs isn't right, then downstairs won't work. That's not a funny analogy. You know what I mean? It's all in the mind.
Yeah. Okay, so let's start looking at some of the strategies then. So what were some of the things? Let's go back to sort of pre-COVID. So business was going well, right? You know, but obviously then things completely turned on their head. So how did that actually impact you as a business, and what did you do?
Yeah, so first of all, pre-COVID, we were, you know, life insurance and mortgage sales, we were face-to-face. So we generally went to our customers' houses or their places of work to see them for an appointment. It was probably 90% face-to-face, 10% over the phone. So obviously, instantly, we weren't allowed to go and do face-to-face. So you have two options at that point as a business. You furlough everybody and feel sorry for yourself, and they all will just wait until it blows over. Or I remember speaking to one of my friends actually in London who gave some great advice. He went, in 2008, when we had that last recession, you had to work twice as hard. And it was something along those lines. I had this conversation. I just remember sitting in my living room thinking, right, well, I'm going to work three times as hard as I've ever worked, and I'm going to make this into a positive. So I got everyone set up on Zoom, as everybody did, and we just marketed like hell, and we just pushed even harder. I pushed recruitment, I pushed sales, brand awareness, everything, three times more than what I've ever done before. Because you only have two choices. You either do it or you don't you? You either push forward or you stay where you are. But if you stay where you are, you go backwards. So I just made a conscious decision to push even harder in every part of my business, and that's kind of what happened. So now, it's probably slipped a little bit, but when we're in the lockdowns, we were obviously 100% over the phone instead of 10% over the phone. And even now when we're coming out of it and we're allowed to do face-to-face, I probably say as a whole business, probably 70-30. So 70% over the phone, only 30% face-to-face. Because what we found is you can help more people. We can speak to more clients. You can do more appointments in a day. Hence, help more people, make more money, make more sales, business, you know, you can do more when it's over the phone. The downsides of that are relationship building, rapport building isn't the same, obviously, over the phone as it is in person. So the way we got around that is injecting your personality down the phone, your tone of voice, standing up when you're on the phone, getting your words out crisply and cleanly, up and down with your tone of voice, enthusiasm, telephone technique training, we do that all the time. And we've actually, you know, we've done 1.5 last year, April to April. We'll do 2.5 this April to April. So we're growing at such a rate now And it's that. Yeah, I think all of that is underpinned by mindset, because I believe that we'll work three times as hard, we'll adapt, we'll evolve, and we'll go ahead of the competition. And that's kind of what we've done.
So that mindset, you know, clearly you have that mindset. How you mentioned training there. So how do you go about recruiting? And I know when we spoke previously, you said that almost, you know, everyone in the team is like friends or friends of friends. And, you know, how do you instill that same spirit into all of them?
A few different ways, I think. Well, it starts at the recruitment, first of all. Even if they are amazing at sales, they've got the right personality type, the outgoing and all these things, and they know a lot of people, so they'll do well in this environment, but they're not a right fit for the business, I wouldn't take them on. Even if they were unbelievable at sales, perfect for this environment, as in this industry, this type role, selling life insurance, but they didn't click with the team, I wouldn't take them on. So they have to have the right values. They've got to, you know, I believe one wrong person in this business could be cancerous and spread. It can cause an atmosphere. It can, you know, and some people might not want to come here. Some people might leave just on the basis of some other people. So it starts with the recruitment. And then after that, it comes down to the regular training. So we do motivational Mondays, where every Monday I'll stand up, do a big sales training seminar on Zoom or in the office, and I motivate the hell out of everybody. And I do, yeah, everyone raves about these sessions. I should probably try and charge for them maybe. But I love doing that. I love speaking really passionately and full of enthusiasm. And I am helping these people. I help my staff make more money and develop in the career. They then in turn help more families with life insurance and mortgages. And then the business wins as well. So it obviously all clicks together. But I motivate them regularly. We do loads of things like, I know we spoke prior to this chat about team culture. I think too many people think a team culture is saying good morning and they take them out on the drink at Christmas once a year. Like, that ain't team culture. That we go out once a month, we're in the office all the time, we speak daily, we do loads of team building stuff. You know, we've got WhatsApp groups for all the team where everyone chats, everyone shares good news, share the positivity, we celebrate people's birthdays, everyone gets the birthdays paid off work. You know, I go over and above for the team, because if I help the team, they help the business.
That must lead to, you know, word of mouth in both ways, right? Amongst the team. So they're telling other people, hey, this is a great place to work, right? So that just self-perpetuates more and more people kind of wanting to be part of that. But then also on the client side of things, you know, I imagine a lot of your clients are referring people to you as well.
Yeah, I mean, the whole business is based on referrals. So we don't do any paid advertisement. So we don't do pay-per-click campaigns. We don't do SEO campaigns and all that nonsense. Well, it's not nonsense. And all that type of stuff, that type of marketing. All we do is post on Facebook and we use our people to get more people. So our team goes and sees someone. We get an average 8 referrals per customer. We'll then sign up for generally 50% of those referrals. So if I sell to you, which I might after this call, actually, I'm going to ask if you've got life insurance. So if you give me 8 referrals, I'll sell to 4 of those. Those 4 give me 8 each. And then it spirals like that. And that's why I take people on who are well-known and who know a lot of people and who've got a big network, because I don't provide them with leads. They have to hunt for their own leads. And that's why having a good network is important. But going back to what you said, yeah, it's all referrals. I think that's part of the reason why we've been so successful, is a lot of people don't know how to do it. They shy away from referrals. They wait for their phone to ring, whereas we ring other people. We're hunters. So you're right. The enthusiasm and everything else, it does. It makes people want to refer us because of the way we treat the customers.
And obviously that's a hugely important part. What else would you say is the USPs of the company? Because there's plenty of insurance, you know, brokers out there, plenty of mortgage brokers out there. So why do clients come to you?
A lot of it's because it's a referral. So, you know, again, I come to say you pass me on Kevin. When I ring Kevin up, I'll say it's something we do for Christian and his family and lots of his friends in such and such an area. And he's asked us to see if I can help you too. So if you've got 5 or 10 minutes now, I can talk you through what we do. So I'm using the influence of other people when I ring that next person down the referral chain. So when I speak to Kevin, I'll mention Christian. But then if Kevin refers us to John, when I speak to John, I'll say it's something we do for Kevin and Christian and such and such and such and such. So people buy off the influence of others, right? And that's how.
And on your website, you've got hundreds of reviews, and reading through them, they're always mentioning personal names of the people they've spoken to. So I imagine at the end of every call, you're asking as well, can you, you know, leave a review if you've had a good experience? And again, that's just really putting out the social proof, isn't it?
Definitely. I think reviews are key these days. You know, people will look you up on Google, on Facebook. They will. It's an educated marketplace now. It's not the days where people just walk down the street and walk into the mortgage brokers on the high street anymore. I truly believe those days are gone. I believe people will ask the friends for a recommendation. Who did you use for your mortgage or your life insurance? Or they'll see some review, or they'll check you out on Facebook, or they'll use that search bar on Facebook, life insurance brokers Newcastle or whatever it may be. Reviews are key. People are key. Just like a bad review probably is 10 to, you know, what do they say? A negative review is 10 times more powerful than a positive, I think they say. But yeah, reviews are key, man. The key.
Yeah. And how many members have you got in the team at the moment, Terry?
Sales staff. Just in the Newcastle office, we have 33. Collectively across the whole of Bespoke, there's 120-ish. Changes all the time, obviously, because we're recruiting like mad. I think I've got about 9 people doing training at the moment to join just the Newcastle branch. That's another key to the success. It's never ending recruitment. It's never ending, because the second you think I've made it, I've got the best team, I've got the biggest team, there's someone snapping at your heels always. So I never get complacent with recruitment. I'm always looking for good people. If someone's got the right personality type and they're a nice person, they've got integrity and morals, and they know a lot of people and they've got contacts, I can teach them how to do this. So yeah, always recruiting, always.
Okay. So obviously we've talked about the increase in the number of team members, so therefore more sales. So that's certainly helped with the turnover during that COVID period. Were there any other strategies, any other things that you implemented which have helped you to get to that figure?
No, I don't think so. It was literally just more of the same. And this is actually a good point that hopefully people can relate to, is sometimes I feel in business, people look for that magic, the magic thing to do, the magic marketing strategy, the special sauce, the, you know, something that they're going to do that's going to... Sometimes it's not something new. Sometimes it's just more of the fundamentals, the basics. And that's all we've done. We just done the basics consistently, turned the volume right up and ramped everything up in every way. Sometimes the answer's right in front of you, and sometimes you just need to do what you're meant to do, you know.
I think that's a very good lesson, actually, because it's so easy to complicate business, right? And there's so many things that you can do. Obviously, on the internet, you've got so many people telling you all these different things. But at the end of the day, there's some very key KPIs, right? So how do you focus on that within the business? You seem like you're definitely the creator, the driver of the business. Are you good at keeping a check on these numbers, or do you have someone in the business to help with that?
Yeah, so I've got a really good support system around us. So I've got a really good backing team, which is, I think, again, is really, really key. That's in the property business and the financial services business. I am all about the vision and the motivation and the energy and the ideas. But we are big on KPIs also. So sales is just numbers. A lot of businesses is just numbers. If you drill it down and you take the emotion out of it, it's just a numbers game. So we focus on, obviously, client acquisition, how many clients you get. We focus on what the client value is. We focus on the conversions in terms of, if you get this many referrals, how many will you convert? Out of those, how many you convert, how much does that generate in income, which we can then really break that down. So I've got it with my team, literally how much per phone call they make. Even if the client says yes or no, we can work it out how much each phone call makes. So I'm really big on KPIs. We do administrator of the month, broker of the month, mortgage broker of the month, life insurance broker of the month. We also do a quality award of the month. So I've got a customer care manager who rings all the clients to make sure they're happy with the service. If there's anything else we can do for them. Is there anything else that we want to improve on or that they feel we could improve on? So I've incentivized them on sales figures, but also on quality, which is a KPI. I am big on KPIs. I certainly don't confess to being numbers, you know, one of these whizzes on numbers. I know me numbers. I know how much you make and I know me numbers, but I'm certainly not accountant, bookkeeping type. I need help with stuff like that.
No, well, we give all of our members an assessment. It's called Wealth Dynamics, and it shows that people obviously have their strengths in different areas. Some are very creative, some are connectors, some love the details, and you just got to have the team, right, who love all of those things working together, and that's the magic source. So the business we've talked about, Terry, so what are you now doing in terms of your own wealth building? So how are you using some of those business profits and kind of building out into other wealth building pillars?
So mainly property. So there's three SPVs that I've got, I think just under 40 units I've got at the moment. So I do an intercompany loan from Bespoke into the SPVs to fund the purchases. Pretty much everything that I do is BRR, so you buy, refurbish, refinance model. Got a great team of builders that I've worked with for quite a while. So it's all about property for me. I love property. I'm just as passionate for property as I am for life insurance. Again, that going back to KPIs, that is a complete KPI numbers game, property, which far too many people miss. There's too much emotion in property. They view a property and think, oh, it's lovely. It would rent really well, this. That doesn't, you know, stop getting tied to it. And then they overbid, they overpay for stuff. You know, all this craziness is going on right now. Bidding wars, stuff going for huge amounts, over asking. It's just pure numbers property. Let the numbers guide you. Focus on a yield or a return that you want, and that's it. But to answer your question, yeah, it's all property. Love property. And I believe that I'm going to go on to big things in property.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think, you know, one of our previous guests on episode 90, we had Ryan Luke. And Ryan lives not too far away from you, I believe. And the title of that episode was Adopting a 1,000 Property Mindset. And again, I know that we were chatting previously and you said, you know, start off small. You have the vision initially, right? 10 properties, $3,000 a month. And, you know, you're pushing that now. So I guess your vision is expanding towards that 1,000 property mindset, right?
Yeah, 100%. I think a lot of, like we spoke the other day, a lot of people, it's 10 properties initially, isn't it, right? And that's great. And that's, anybody who gets to that, fair play to them. That's still a big target and a good thing to do for you and your family to get to 10 properties is an achievement. But when you get there, it's like, right, what next? 20, then what next? And then all of a sudden, your goals change and your perception of everything change, your perception of what you can achieve changes. It becomes almost a little bit of a game if it's not too much about financials. So I'm just really ambitious, mate. So I'm thinking, right, well, my target is 100 properties by age 35. That's 3 years, I'll do that. But now I'm starting to look further and think, right, well, 45, I want 1,000. But I know for an absolute fact, when I'm 40-something, I'll be thinking, right, what's next? And there'll be I just have to keep moving the ball, mate, because progression is happiness, and it keeps you, what else are you going to do? Like, you need something to do, don't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. And so I guess in summary then, Terry, you've broken through the £1 million, you know, barrier. You're now broken through the £2 million barrier. What would be some kind of top tips for budding entrepreneurs, aspiring entrepreneurs who are, you know, kind of earlier in their journey? If you look back, the things that have really been the key differentiators in your success, what would those be?
So advice, I would think a great line that I think it was a guy called Brad Sugars. He's the action coach guy. I think you've got people in your thing, haven't you, with him?
Yeah.
So his definition of a business, I'm sure it was him I watched at a seminar in Harrogate, where he said the definition of a business is a commercial and profitable enterprise that runs and grows without you. So if you're an entrepreneur in business, you need to change your mindset as in the bit, if it's all you, you're self-employed, for example, and you don't have a team, you've got a small team, you're doing everything, you don't have a business, that's a job. And that was a real light bulb moment for me a few years back, because I was the business. It was all me. I was doing bits of admin. I was doing all the management. I was doing everything. But you can only go so far with that, and you're exchanging your time for money. So it's advice would be to a proper business, you need a team. And yes, I've been there where you think, oh, but I've got to shell out a salary and they'll never do it as good as me. Everyone thinks that, right? But even if they do it 80% as good as you, that's good enough. And you can then free up your time to do other things and focus on other parts of the business, working on the business instead of in it. All that stuff is great advice, definitely. Other advice, if you've got a team, I think that a huge turning point in my business was culture, was just getting this culture right. Last year was definitely a turning point. Lockdown was a turning point when I decided to work more, have more interaction with the team, have more Zoom meetings and all these type things. So team culture is so, so important, because you can have a huge business and it can be like a deck of cards. If the foundations aren't right and there's the wrong people in the wrong positions, the wrong bums on seats, it can all fall. So team culture will be a big one, and goals as well. I know it's a simple concept, right? Everyone writes goals at New Year's Eve for New Year's resolutions, but nobody really sticks to them. Goals aren't just once a year, they should be all the time. You know, stick them up I've got affirmation cards all over my house. My mates think I'm like mental, and there's like just quotes everywhere. I can't escape it. It's on my laptop, my phone, my office, my home office. Office here, that it's everywhere, and I'm a bit obsessed with it. I do think
you're hardwired for success.
I just can't escape it every single day, bar none. I listen to audio, I read, I write down my goals, write down my affirmations. It's my life. It's not my life, because business isn't my life. I've got children and partners and things. One partner. Oh, I love to biz Louise. Just going back, goals is so important. It's so important.
And then just the right people around you, right? They've got to support you with that as well.
Oh, definitely. I've had the wrong partner before. And that does, if you're doing amazing at work, your career's booming, you make loads of money, you're enjoying it, you've got a great team, and you come home to negativity and stress and hassle, and it dampens all of this. So you've got to have that right, and you can achieve more if the home life's right. And I've learned that lesson for sure. Louise, my partner at the moment, so supportive. She's in business as well. She's got property as well. She owns an estate agent. She's very switched on. That was probably a good turning point for my career as well when I got with Louise, because she spurs me on. Instead of coming home getting, you know, stop buying properties, Terry. You don't need any more properties. Why are you recruiting more people? You don't need a bigger business. Now it's like, well, come on, what are you doing? Buy some more. You know, that's really important.
Well, we hear that term, don't we, a lot, work-life balance, you know. But as you say, if it's out of balance, then absolutely can have an impact. So we're recording this on video, Terry, as we always do. And in the background, I can see Rags to Riches show. And so tell us a little bit about your podcast.
Yeah. So I just thought, to be honest, I've listened to your podcast loads. I do, going back to what I said, self-development, audiobooks, Audible. I listen to it all the time. So I listen to Audible as well as podcasts. I listen to them all the time. I really enjoy them. And I quite like the interview style, opposed to just listening to somebody talk for 7 hours about something. Although that's good, I just like the podcast thing. Learned lots from them previously. I do know a lot of people, so I just thought, why not? It doesn't really cost anything to set one up. But honestly, what I've found is I'm actually getting massively inspired by me chatting to people. It's networking as well, which is great. The phrase, your network is your net worth and all that. I've had some deals from it. I've had the exposure I've got from it. I didn't kind of expect. I haven't marketed it apart from on my Instagram. People in Australia, people from America, people could bring in deals to us, angel investors. I'm like, oh my God, this is like, I'm really enjoying this. And it's actually helping with business as well. But the show is actually just about people's interesting stories, about people going from rags to riches or just nothing to something. That can be in your health, it can be in your fitness, because you could be really overweight and to get really fit. they have a story to tell. It'd been going from being skinned to really wealthy. And just to chat, you know, people who've turned their life around is what the show's about. And it seems to be going down really well. So
great. Well, I'm sure some of our listeners will be plugging into that as well. And Terry, it's been a real pleasure talking with you today. Thank you for sharing some of the ways that you've gone about doubling your business in COVID. Well done for that. And obviously you're on a meteoric rise to success. I can see that. And I'm sure we will invite you back on again in the future to share some more ideas with our listeners.
No, I'd love that, Chris. Thank you so much for having us on. And yeah, thank you.
Okay, lots of fun there speaking with Terry. And I love the way he just simplifies business, right? Focus on a few key things. So we can dive into those lessons in just a second. But let's quickly head to Trustpilot. And we've had some more reviews this week. So thanks, everyone, for leaving reviews. We really, really appreciate it. In fact, we've just hit our 150th review on Trustpilot. So that's a landmark. So let's push on to 200 now. But I'm going to pull one out from David this week. David said, "Wealth Builders are passionate about your pension. Wealth Builders helped me transfer my SIP into a SAS and provide excellent advice along the way. And I have liaised closely with Paul Brooks throughout this journey and highly recommend other people to do the same. As far as I am concerned, Wealth Builders is the best organization in the UK to work with in this area. You will never meet a team that is more experienced and more passionate about your pension."
There you go. Passionate about pensions. Well, talking about passion, Crumbs, you can't hide Terry's, can you?
You can't, no. But just before that, actually, you had your visit to the House of Lords, didn't you, last week, Kevin?
Oh, so yes.
How did you get on with that?
That was very nice. I had cream tea in the House of Lords, and I think I put a little pictures on social on there. And I think you said I was preened and screened. Of course, you've got to go through I was suited and booted, and you've got to go through the right security. But no, it's really good to know that there are people in high places who are passionate about getting a fair and good value for people in pensions. And I'd have to say that Baroness Ros Altman is known for that. And, you know, she's quite passionate about the pension subject, as we are too, because it's the mainstay of people's wealth in the UK. And I'm sure it's the case in other countries that listen to us as well. You know, that pension forms the backbone for most people of where their future income is going to come from. So spending some time to try and give people better value, better returns, and to have a pension they can get connected to instead of disconnected and feel proud about owning instead of really just sort of ambivalent about that ownership. And that's good. And I'm on that soapbox, and I will continue to be on that for a very, very long time, Chris, because I think it's an area that people need to get more education on. So happy to be leading that in the small way that I am.
Yeah. So, you know, pensions in our seven pillars of wealth is pillar number two. And we're hopefully one of the leading experts in the UK in that subject. And David certainly thinks we are there in the review today. And we've got seven pillars. And I think it's just worth for new listeners, because we're getting lots of new listeners every week. We're, I think, 125,000 downloads on the podcast, well over 100 countries now. So for any new listeners, I definitely would direct you back to episode number one and the first sort of few episodes where we really lay the foundations of the whole wealth building process. And that would be very useful for you to listen to if you haven't checked those out already.
Yeah, good reminder from time to time, because we're so used to it, aren't we, Chris, that we use the language and take that language for granted, which is why we like to do a debrief, because, you know, certainly, you know, Terry started off at, you know, that first point on the recurring revenue roadmap, demonstrating the importance of mindset.
Yeah, he did. I asked him, you know, where does this entrepreneurial spirit come from? And, you know, he just said he always had that belief from a young age that he was going to do some great things. And so, you know, whether you believe you can or you believe you can't, you're right, is the old saying. And Terry, you know, is getting off to a good start there with that strong mindset. And well, you know, we also used to talk about, Kevin, that, you know, there's no neutral in wealth building. There's either, you know, you're either moving forwards or you're moving backwards, right?
Yeah. So, you know, there's nothing about neutral here. You don't go anywhere in neutral. You either got your foot on the brake, and a lot of people took the COVID opportunity to apply the brake and let's wait and see. And waiting and seeing is never a good strategy. that we saw in here with Terry, you know, a firm press on that accelerator and powered through and, you know, just didn't stop. And I think I applaud him for that. And obviously that mindset has helped him power through and his business has gone from strength to strength.
Yeah. So during that period, obviously he's doubled his turnover from 770,000 to 1.5 million. And some of the key things that Terry did during that time, and it was very clear that one of the strengths of the business is the team. In fact, I would say, you know, it's all built around the team and getting the right culture. And you hear the terms of culture and vision, but they are important. And you can see the difference there when you have everyone really on board with the mission of the business and, you know, enjoying the place that they're working. And that's certainly something that Terry has instilled from the top, from the leadership level down.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think he said loud and clear in many different ways. In fact, if you were to listen again, that he'd rather have people who are the right fit than people with the right skills but the wrong fit, you know, which actually is a bit of a reflection of what we're doing in the Wealth Builder business in our own team. And then for those who are interested in following our journey and what we're doing there, it's similar in some respects to how Terry's dealing with his, which is the importance of creating culture. And we're following a system that we call the EOS, or the Entrepreneurial Operating System, which is just a way of thinking, come out of a book called Traction by Gino Wickman. And it's really helped us, Chris, to focus on creating our core values, which we'll be resharing with our team later on this month, in fact, on away day. And also, you know, our core principles, what we're trying to achieve, who we're trying to achieve it for, all of these good things. And what makes us unique. There's lots of things that this book, I would recommend you get a copy if you're in business. And I think intuitively, though, Terry seems to have embraced some of those things, whether he's read the book or not.
Yeah. And some other really sort of fundamental aspects is building the business around referrals. And that's working incredibly well. And it was interesting to hear the stats that there's 8 referrals per customer and 50% of those become clients. And that's really strong, right? And I think Terry can definitely teach something about how to build referrals into your business there, because, you know, that's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at any business, it has to operate very strongly in a niche. We talk about that in Wealth Builders, and he's got a very strong niche, which is the protection of family. And his methodology is to do that through the use of referrals, and he's got a whole training process that he engages to help people to do that, and says that most other businesses singularly fail to do that. You know, they're relying on external marketing rather than every client essentially coming from a referral, and potentially even a referral from every client. That's how strong the culture is built, not just within the team, but within the client bank themselves. So, you know, that's a great niche to have, sort of selling and arranging protection and doing so on the basis of referrals. That's an incredibly strong niche. And I think he can demonstrate that his business is outstanding in that field, not just in terms of statistics, but also in terms of, you know, how he comes across and how it seems to me, even though I've not been in his business personally, and will very much look forward to one day going up to spend some time with him in his business to see this culture come to life and see the real people doing it in the way that he teaches.
Yeah. And again, just on the team side of things, he talked about incentivizing the team. So member of the months, you know, obviously having fun, sharing, having birthdays off, all those good things. So, you know, I think that oozes through when you have that culture inside the company to people wanting to do business with you. And then we looked at the figures, the numbers, because obviously, as Terry said, you know, business is a numbers game. And
property, he was very particular, wasn't he, about the property, which is obviously pillar number 4. And those people who buy property will often at the beginning of their journey buy on emotion rather than buying on the core numbers. So he was very clear on that. You know, business is about numbers, and not exclusively, it's not at the cost of anything else, but you've got to know your numbers. Mind you, and we have to pull up Terry for a thing there, because he did say he had partners, plural. But he couldn't quite count the numbers of life partners he had. So
yeah.
I think we need to have a little joke at his expense on that one.
Better not be sharing this podcast with his other half there. So, and we know through Wealth Dynamics, right? Again, Wealth Dynamics is one of the starting points of our roadmap, is knowing yourself. You know, what's your entrepreneurial profile? And some people, you know, the numbers is not an area that they enjoy doing or that they're particularly good at. So, you know, wealth building, business, it's all about collaboration. You can't do it by yourself. Or if you can, but it's going to be a long, slow, hard journey.
Yeah, that's right. I definitely feel it's so clear from what we do inside Wealth Builders. If you look at those reviews, you'll see the word community come up time and time and time again. And that community builds the very essence of an enjoyable journey, a journey of personal transformation, so that you get stronger, you get better, as well as the results get better by doing so in a community, not in a DIY environment, which is how so many people build their wealth by trial and error or Googling their way to apparent success, which is definitely not the right way, at least not in our view, right, Chris?
Yeah. So, you know, I think a lot of parallels really with Terry's journey there and how he's approached business. And again, comes back to mindset, right? During COVID, we all had the same difficult period. Obviously, some was harder for others, but, you know, it's how you react to that. And that's the difference. And we've seen that within our own wealth building community, those people that have really excelled over the last 12 months as well. And many of those we've had on the podcast as our member spotlights and many more to come.
Yeah. And the other thing that I would pick up, Chris, is that business is an asset and it's an asset that fits within the seven pillars at number five. But you could see also, though, that Terry was building wealth from the profits in his business. If you heard him say, I lend money from my business to an SPV. And now an SPV, for those who don't know, is a special purpose vehicle. It's like creating a separate company with the objective of achieving something in property. So that's what an SPV is. So he's lending money from his company that is making profit in a business to create a separate business, almost a separate entity, an SPV, which he then uses to buy and accumulate a portfolio property, which really means then he's using his business as a vehicle to build another wealth building pillar, which is the pillar of property. And you could see that he's also just as focused in terms of numbers on getting to a figure of, I think it was 100 properties.
By the age of 35. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Now that's absolutely fine. You know, what a laudable thing to do, to be clear about that and have the mindset to know you can achieve it. Whereas somebody else might, you'd be happy with 3 or 4 or 5 or 10. And that's fine. We're not saying you should have an aspiration of 100 properties by any age. If that's within your capability and that will help you do what you want to do and help you get to where you want to achieve for your own financial independence, then that's fine. And actually, there was somebody, his compatriot, not quite, but also a local guy, wasn't there, who had 1,000 property mindset. And I think you mentioned that.
Ryan Luke, that's right, episode 90. So I'll definitely link to that in today's show notes. So anyone listening can check that one out after this episode. And there's another pillar that Terry is now moving towards. So, yeah, you know, the pillar of IP, which is obviously creating digital assets. So his podcast now, which is, you know, building up connections, and that's leading to more business. And those podcasts are going to be out there now forever, working for him 24 hours a day. So, you know, there's no stopping young Terry.
I think I'm just waiting for the invitation to be a guest on his podcast.
Well, I have to give him a little nudge. I'm sure he would be accommodating there.
And I'm sure he would.
Yeah. So, I think we've pulled out pretty much all the lessons that Terry shared with us today, unless you've got any further ones, Kevin.
No, I think you're going to signpost a few of the things, because often you get lessons and learn things in bunches. And so as not to get overwhelmed, just think about the importance in business, having a niche, being outstanding in your niche. Okay, so that's a very good lesson to pick up from here. The second is to know your numbers. And that's being clear on the target you've got to become financially independent, and then the methodology you're using to do that. allowing the numbers to help guide you rather than be the only thing that guides you. So make sure if you're buying property, as an example, you're doing so based on the outcome you want, not just on the look and feel of a property, but on what the results are. I would probably go on the business, link back to Chris Henry's podcast, Chris, mm-hmm. Which was the measure of the five ways.
Yeah.
You know, different ways that you can improve different performance measures inside a business, which then if you work on each of those metrics, you can achieve a more successful business. And we know that most business owners get sucked into the fabric of the building of the business and often lose the sight of using the business as a vehicle. They get consumed by the very vehicle itself. So we have to be careful of that. So look to make profit and then reinvest those profits in other businesses, or turn your business into a business that can run without you, which Terry didn't talk too much about that, but Crumbs is only in his early 30s, so it's probably a bit early for him to be thinking about that. But I dare say that business could run without him at some point, and therefore he will have achieved a healthy contribution to his overall wealth from business, from property, from IP, and so on. So you know, take those lessons, and if somebody, a Geordie can do it, anybody can do it. Right?
All the talents up north, apparently. So we have water
up there, I think, Chris.
Yeah. We hope you enjoyed listening today. And if you're not already connected to us, then do join us in our Wealth Builders community on Facebook. And you can head to Facebook, search for Wealth Builders, or just join as a free member. Head to wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership. And we'll see you there.
Yeah, you've got nothing to lose by becoming a free member. I mean, we do want you to participate. We do want you to engage with us. And that's the whole point. We said about community, and we're determined to help you get involved. If you're a DIYer or you just like to stay on the sidelines, then probably we're not the right place for you, because we like to participate. I wish my football team were participating more at a higher level, Chris.
Don't worry.
The water, they're not drinking the water up there. The team aren't anyway. So my football team aren't doing so well, but they've got some money now, right? So I'm happy about that.
Don't you worry. I'm sure things will be different in the near future. Yeah. So, and again, if you enjoyed this episode, if you think there's anybody else who might enjoy it, then hit share. If you want to help us out, if you're enjoying it, then hit share, and we will get more people listening, more people downloading, more people building their wealth. And that means more impact in the world. And that's the key. All right.
Well said, Chris. Well said.
All right. So we'll catch you all same time, same place next week.
Mm-hmm. And until then, my friend, see ya.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget that we are constantly updating our resources inside the Wealth Builders membership site to help you create, build and protect your wealth. Head over to wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership right now for free access. That's wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership.